Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, as you, Mayor, you do a great job in painting the, you know, a real rosy picture of things that are going on. You know, there's a great city, we've got a great community here. So much that's just so good about Keene. You know, when we hear about all these supposedly wonderful projects, and I just have one question.
Okay.
You know, where on earth is the money coming from? I mean, it's no secret. Everybody in town knows this. They've shoved this jail down our throat. They've shoved this school down our throat. And of course, the grant fell through on that. You know, who's going to pay for this? Is this going to... Are they going to have to steal everyone's home that they thought they owned in the city of Keene and the county in order to pay for their, you know, for their retirement? Because that's really what it's all about. And really, that's what it is all about. This, you know, nobody can really deny that. But, I mean, this is a great community. We got a lot of good things going on here. But who is going to have to foot the bill? The feds are going down. The state's going down. Are we going to go with them?
I'm not sure what you meant about the... You talked about the jail and the school being shoved down your throat.
And then you talked about retirement.
I'm not sure...
The grant's going to be gone for the school. Now, where's that going? All the stuff is to pay for the people's retirement. I mean, that's what this is really all about. This has nothing to do with, you know, we all know this. People, if you don't know it, and there are probably a few people that don't, you know, this is about passing, you know, everybody wants to pass the buck right now, but the federal
make a statement, and you know, every other word is, you know, we don't. I don't know what your question is here.
Well, who's going to pay for this?
Okay, let me make an attempt to answer that.
You know, these homes that everybody seems to think that they own, and
All right, let me try to answer that for you, Carl, if I can. First of all, you have to remember there's three divisions within the local area here. The city has some control over what's done in the city. The county has control over what's done in the county. Their jurisdiction is only by the state of New Hampshire. The school board is an independent, autonomous board within the city of Keene. So whatever the school board does, they do. What the county does, they do. What the city does, we do. Now, the thing is, though, we all pay for whatever is done by taxes. That's the only way we have for income in the state of New Hampshire. And that's the current system that is being professed by the current governor. And what he wants to do, he does not want to look at a sales tax, doesn't want to look at an income tax of any way of creating more revenue for the city, for the state of New Hampshire.
He doesn't want any new taxes, but he sure as hell wants new fees.
Well, there's fees, and we don't call them taxes anymore, we call them fees. So you're right, it's a difficult thing, and the way that money is getting cut is not necessarily what's happening here at, it's happening at the state level. I have that list right in front of me of the amount of cuts that are going to be proposed by the state of New Hampshire and how it's going to affect the city of Keene. Now, some of it's for the city, some of it's for the county, and some of it's for the school. So the thing that happens is, what I would like you to do is take a look at your tax bill and see where the biggest increases come. You'll get a tax bill from the city of Keene, but remember, we're less than one-third of that, because what we do is this tax rate of what it is and the amount that the tax rate is from the city of Keene, then take a look and see what your county percentage is, and of course, the city of Keene, being the biggest city in the county, pays 27% of all of the county fees that come up every year. So, you know, and I know that I sound very optimistic, but we are working on all of those type of things, and we know the reality of what the cost is, which is one of the reasons why we had the lowest cost of the city tax increase last year as the lowest in the last 10 years. So it isn't that we're not working on that, and we realize how much it costs. But, you know, if you want to talk about schools, that's a group that can talk about schools. If you want to talk about county, that's a group. If you want to talk about city, I can help you with your questions, direct questions on the city.
Well, you know, I just got to say, keep your eyes on China, people, because...
I agree with you on that one.
you know, hey, it, well, it's no different here. You know, if the budget's out of control here, someone has to foot the bill. And China owns us right now. And, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there that may be right when they say that, hey, there are Chinese troops being flown in at night and all this stuff. I don't know. You know,
no,
I mean, there's that movie. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but, you know, somebody's got to pay. And what happens if it's not a battle of some other country coming in to get the bill paid? Well, it's going to be the local police, and that's not good. They're supposed to be part of us, and they're supposed to be part of the community. Stealing people's homes
Let's be careful in that term. Give me the name of three people who we stole homes from.
Well, there are a lot of people.
Give me a lot of names.
How many properties does the city of Keene now have that are in foreclosure? I'm sure you can tell me that number.
Two.
Okay.
Now, that's not bad when we have $57 million in is what the amount of tax revenue that comes in.
How many of the homes right now are behind on their taxes? What is the percentage?
It's about the same as it's been every year for the last 6 years. And because we have a list. No, it isn't. We had two that were very, very high. They were not homes or homeowners. They were businesses that had not paid a very large amount. One of them owed us $648,000, and that's been paid off. And the others, and the homes are right in line where they've been every year. And you can do that by just calling the assessor's office and finding out the exact numbers.
Well, it seems to me that very recently the city of Keene, I'll go look into this a little bit further, and I'll be calling back because I like to call back.
Okay,
that's
all right. You know, and I'm happy to talk with you one-on-one anytime, too, if you want to, okay?
Okay, great.
Thanks for calling. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you, Ian, they used to call you all the time and bug you. Is he the guy that's on Coast to Coast?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
He's on Free Talk Live. It's on Saturday nights when the Red Sox aren't on.
Oh.
I think it starts at 7 o'clock.
I guess maybe that's the same guy. I thought because it was late at night that it was Coast to Coast.
No, he's on at 7 o'clock at night, I believe, on Saturday nights.
All right, because I have heard him then, and I thought it was the same guy.
Okay.
Where is he now that he doesn't bug you?
Well, sometimes he doesn't bug me, but he calls sometimes.
And was always contrary to everything.
And I think I don't know if he's moderated a little or what, but he seems to be.
Now that he has his own program, he sounds pretty good.
Well, I think he's had his program for quite a while.
He's had it
but
for quite a while.
I think the mission of the Free Staters are different from the Free Keene.
Right.
There's a Free Keene faction that was much different. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
and,
okay.
And many of them have left. Some of them have left anyway. So, all right. So, thank you for calling.
Okay. All right.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. It's a beautiful morning in Keene. I just want to say thank you to you guys.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think you're on the cell phone. You're breaking up a little.
Cell phone, sorry, I'm on the road. The best I can do, it's a tough coverage up here. And I don't want the government to do anything about improving my cell phone coverage. I appreciate that woman who called in earlier who mentioned the jail. My two major issues are the jail and this and all the wars that never end, and I appreciate the gentleman who called in. And she called in and she asked a bunch of, you know, relevant questions. And, you know, and I do believe that anybody who possibly could say that, you know, I know you two would never say anything like this, that anybody in the world besides the people in government like Van Wickler, the warden, and all his, and the other cronies who now own the jail that we all paid for in their benefits and their pension, all their buddies' pensions. You know, 10% of the properties in Keene right now that are for sale are foreclosures. You know, it just seems like, you know, I keep hearing people saying they're going to do stuff. They're going to not pay a portion of their taxes. They're going to withhold it. And, you know, and I really appreciate the gentleman who was talking, who just called about it, you know, and saying keeping it local. Because I think if we kept it local, if we kept a lot of things local, not just the the pensions and equalizing the playing field and for government and public and private sector employees. I don't see the government as having any kind of solution. But locally, I think we have a little bit of a better shot at it. And, you know, talking with you folks, I know you listen, you call people back, and when people ask for information on this phone, you know, on this line, you get back to them every week. But, you know, to say that anybody ever supported the jail, anyone who says that people support the jail, anybody supports the jail in this area, is just beyond, is beyond me that the locals support the jail. And there's not a chance. The other thing I think about is, we were promised these federal employees, we were promised that it's going to be money-making, but I've never seen one government operation ever make money.
Right. It's very difficult to hear you because you're breaking up so much. But okay.
The one of the things that I would say is, if you look at the city council, when the voters of Keene go and elect the city council, there are no D's, there are no R's.
Right.
The voters go in and say who would be the best man or woman to represent the city of Keene. We do the same thing on the school board, and to me, unless the voters, 70 or 80% of the voters, go out to the next election and say, I'm not voting D or R because I've done that for the past 30, 40 years, I'm going to elect what I think is the best person possible, we're not going to really have a voice, because the Democratic or the leadership, Republican or Democrat, are going to do what they want to do because they know we're just going to vote a D or an R.
Right. And I think that it works so well on the council. I mean, we can certainly have philosophical differences. We can vote, you can vote one way and I can vote another. But when the meeting's all over, we're friends.
We're friends.
And I think that's a good way to be. And I wish that, I don't know that that's possible with some people with party. Some people are so party that... if they said, let's elect a dog, they would say, well, he's a Democratic dog, so let's vote for him.
At the city council, we're not like up at the state house. Before we go in, where the Democrats and the Republicans are handed a piece of paper saying, don't think this is the way you're supposed to vote.
Ooh.
If you see it on TV, you have one person with a red handkerchief and another one with a green one, and they'll be waving it back and forth, telling people, don't think, vote this way, and if you don't vote this way, we're not going to talk to you anymore. That's not government.
No.
That's not effective government.
No, it's not effective government at all. But good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I've been down here puttering in my workshop, listening to the radio, and I hear a lot of angst amongst a lot of your callers. And while I agree with you that the tax structure is indeed deficient and needs to be repaired, God knows when that's going to occur. In the meanwhile, it's probably best to curtail spending, specifically $147,000 for a community room that will provide questionable benefit to very, very few. And that's discounted offhand, because it's only $147,000, and we've got it hidden somewhere, and why not spend it?
Well, I don't believe it's hidden. The budget for everyone to see, but it's dedicated money that the council agreed, that if money came in from sale of property in and around 350, 380, 400 Marlboro Street, that it would be used to improve the property.
If
someone rented that property, that rent would go to improve the property.
Okay, that's refreshing to hear, because it doesn't really often sound like, the monies spent on that property are particularly prudently spent. I don't think you voted for that in the first place. I don't think you were on the council.
Not on the council.
And I don't know how many councilors that did are still on. I think they're pretty much all gone, with the exception of Dale. The whole idea is that, I went to the hearing a couple of weeks ago when John and Court and Gary were discussing with the poor people down in the Elm Street area about their parking plates. And I spoke with one of the attendants afterwards, and he says, what a waste of time. Their money, their mind is all made up. And he did go to the hearing that you had last Wednesday, and sure enough, the mind's all made up. And this is done offhand without considering the impact on the rest of the community, just like 350 was. And this just, to me, indicates a spirit that isn't healthy for our economy or our community. Yeah, we do a lot of good things, and God knows you amongst many, probably you especially because you have such a long forum on every Saturday morning, but there's no denying that every city councilor or city official that can possibly go up and blow his own horn has an opportunity to do so. And I guess I'm kind of lonely out in the sidelines here saying that, yeah, you do a lot of good things, but let's not blow our own horn too terribly loud, because there's cacophony out there as far as, there's a lot of stress. And somebody mentioned not too long ago that the majority of the real estate transfers that I see in the paper are not John Doe to John or Joe Doe. They're from something finance mortgage company, LLC, or some bank, LLC, or something. And these are all homes, yeah. The homes are being turned over, but every one of those that you see, it goes on one side of the column is, this is an indication that real estate market is flourishing. And then if you look on the other side of the cone, this is an indication of how many people are becoming homeless.
And there are more and more in the real estate transfers.
Every day, every week.
An individual to a financial organization, okay. And it breaks my heart.
Thanks
but
for giving
we're
me
out
my...
of time. Thanks yeah. very much for okay. calling. Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning. Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. I'm sorry about that earlier. I want to make sure and thank you. And I know, Chris, I appreciate both you folks. And I just wanted Chris to be, I just want to protect his back a little bit, because I know when he spoke earlier, he may have misspoken in saying, but was overwhelming support in the beginning for the jail. I think the overwhelming support was only coming from the jailers themselves, the people who want to make money off this.
But I misspoke then.
I just want Chris to be safe. Yeah, that's okay. I didn't want you to get any bad flack for that, because I know you're really, really trying. I know you're both really, really trying.
Well, I think there
trying.
Was support for the jail. I think everybody knew that the jail in Westmoreland was really a mess, and there was a certain amount of support for it. But I think most people wanted it built in Westmoreland, wanted it to stay in Westmoreland where it was to begin with, and seemed to be working quite well.
Oh,
and I
sure,
think that
yeah,
was the anger that it was moved to Keene by many
yeah.
people.
Well, in Westmoreland, it was tucked out of sight. And again, another situation where they had, even though they had very few people in there and the conditions were tough, they had a lot of people in there that they were prosecuting, and they were, locking away for things that they really didn't hurt anybody. There's really no need for being there other than revenue. And that's how the jail or the prison industrial complex works. And the sad thing is that, the cure always seems to be, well, throw more money at it, make it better. And that's the federal line. And I think that that's come down to the state as well. Hey, money can get printed out of thin air. Well, let me tell you, 10% of the properties in Keene right now are foreclosures. That's just in Keene. And when you talk about the county, it's a lot higher. But I'm going to stay in Keene because that's where I live. And
that's sad. I mean, not that you live here, that 10% of the homes are in foreclosure.
Hey, keep throwing more money at the banks. They'll do the same thing. And one of the things that concerns me, I'm a veteran as well, and I hear about all this stuff for God and country. And I know, as I was brainwashed to go into the military and make better life for myself and my family and what have you, and support God and country, that the biggest lie I think I've ever bought into in my life, because I flew in drugs for all he wants. That's what I did. I took part in that kind of stuff. I was part in killing innocent people who didn't do anything, like this whole debacle in Libya. I mean, it's all been engineered by the federal government. There's no real Qaddafi revolution there. It's all engineered by, mark my word, it's coming out. But I want to get back to staying local. I do appreciate the troops. I do think we should do things for them. I don't think the government has the answer for them. I think it's something that we need to do individually. And if we can prevent people from going over there, prevent people from going and getting their limbs blown off and their lives altered for the rest of our lives. Well, that's probably where a better place to, where we can make a difference. As far as this jail is concerned, I love the gentleman who called in earlier. He has always been right. I've listened to this station for a long time, and everything he has said has come true. He is amazing. He's been right on the whole time. Stay safe, people, and shut down that jail. You know, if you want to take everybody's money, you know, bring the homeless shelter. Bring something there. You know, shut it down. It does not need to be there.
Well, thank you for calling, and we're running out of time here. Thank you for calling, though. Bye-bye. One of the things that the dropping the age to 16 from 18 for high school dropout.
Stupid.
Yeah. Why? What was the reason for that? Was there anybody that stood up and said, I think we should do this because?
You don't want to hear the reason, but the reason says government needs to get out of family life. If mom or dad doesn't want their kid to go to school at the day after 16, it's the mother and father's right. Who cares about the kid's future? It's a family values issue that only should be up to the mother and father, not to the superintendent, not to the community. It doesn't matter if the kid drops out and becomes a community liability. Mom and dad had the right to make that decision.
But what if mom and dad decide they don't want the child to go to school at all, but they both work, so they're not going to homeschool them?
Well, there's another bill up there that says the superintendent in the local school district should not have any interference into mom and dad's homeschooling plan. So if I go and say, I don't want Johnny to go to school, I'm going to homeschool him, I can homeschool him, and a superintendent can't do anything. My daughter, who
there won't be any guidelines.
No. My daughter, who lives in Georgia, who has four kids, but she's trained as a teacher, homeschools three. But they have to take a test every year in Georgia to show that they're making the same progress. If they don't make it, they go into public school. Because we now would have the possibility is, I don't want to send my kid to school. I may keep my kid out of school for 5 or 6 years. Then he goes, holy crap, the kid should be in seventh grade, but it's only at second grade level. I put him back into the public school, and you guys make up all the costs to bring him back up to grade.
I don't understand it. I do not understand it. And I wondered if it had to do with not having to pay as much for those kids that are over 16, or if I don't know, but it just was a dumb idea.
House Bill 340, which was to... and I've told you before, I don't like the numbers, in which I spoke and we got defeated, was to allow anybody who didn't send their kid to school to get up to $3,500. And so when you go and look at all these different bills together, so if I'm 16 and, hey, wait a minute, if I keep Johnny and Mary home, I can get $7,000. Johnny, Mary, you're not going to school. You're staying home. So you got to look.
357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning. It's Ian from FreeKeen.com.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. So, on the schools issue, let's see if I can help you understand, considering that you're a little confused.
So what's new?
It's an issue of parents and their kids and what they decide is best for themselves. And, you know, whether or not you agree or disagree with their decision really shouldn't be any of your business. I mean, as another individual, it's okay to care about other people and offer them assistance, but forcing them into a system with which they have a fundamental disagreement for whatever their reason is, it's not very live free or die. It's not very, very freedom oriented. And I think that if you actually look into a technique called unschooling, you might discover some interesting things. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Well, the basic idea behind unschooling is that, you give your kid the very, very, very basics, and then you, at least that's how I understand it. I'm not an unschooler, so I don't know exactly, but it's just what I've heard. And then you basically turn them loose and allow them to kind of indulge in whatever educational interests are, I guess, attractive to them. And this particular method is... it's been very successful because it allows the child to set their own educational pace and curriculum and follow, you know, their hearts, and it really ends up working out. However, it won't work out if there's some sort of, you know, government mandatory thing like Chris was describing in Georgia, where some group of unaccountable bureaucrats has control over what your child is supposed to be learning, and, you know, whether or not your curriculum is appropriate or state approved. And it just seems to me that, you know, if this is the, really is the live free or die state, then people should be free to make those choices, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I agree that there are people that I respect that keep their children home. They homeschool. Probably Chris's daughter would be one if I knew her. And, but I, just like the schools, and if they do homeschooling, I think they need to have some sort of oversight to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do, because a lot of parents don't do what they're supposed to do.
So, because some parents will make bad choices, all parents should be forced into a one-size-fits-all system by, you know, some bureaucratic edict that they must do X, Y, and Z?
Well, I wish I could think of a better way to do it, but I can't.
Well, the better way to do it is to allow people to make decisions, and some, as you say, will make poor decisions, and then to offer those people the assistance that they need when they need it. That will solve your problem, because today you still have parents that do the wrong thing despite whatever
system's
rules are.
But how do you know that if, you know, somebody over here has got a couple of kids and she doesn't send them to school, oh, I'm homeschooling. But under your idea, how do you know that they're getting what they need? How do you know that they'll be able, when they get to be, you know, 16, 18 years old and they're put out in the world, how do you know that they'll be able to cope? Because
unless they're keeping their kids in the basement chained up, I would presume that would mean that their children are getting out and they're interacting with the rest of the world, and people would be able to, you know, make whatever assessments they feel are appropriate as far as their mental and social abilities are concerned. And of course, most homeschoolers aren't, as you described, you know, they are parents who really do care about their kids, and their kids are getting out into homeschool groups and going on field trips and doing all kinds of things. I just think the problem is when you say something, Cynthia, like, well, you know, there should be these standards and, you know, they should be held over all these kids. Well, the unspoken statement there is that if they don't meet the standards, then X happens. And usually X means the threat of taking children away or possible jail time or some sort of method of violence, which is, of course, the state's only real tool.
Well, we're never going to agree, Ian, but I respect your opinion, and I want to get one more call in before.
Bye-bye now.
So, thank you. 357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Is that me?
That's you.
I just wanted to call and say that I think Ian and the other Free State and Free Keen folks need to just realize that we live in a cooperative society, and that there's a reason that we all pay for public schools, because these children are going to be the next generation of workers, and that America was built on the idea that everyone should have the right and the opportunity to become the best that they can be. And if your parents can't afford to homeschool you, you should still have the opportunity to learn. And if he doesn't think that the educational system is perfect, I agree. There are many problems with it. That doesn't mean you just throw it out. It has a good foundation, and it has a good aims. And it's just blind and insular to think that everyone should be out for themselves. You just can't live that way anymore, not in the society we have where everyone is so interconnected.
Well, that's a good point. Thank you very much.